And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on today's experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, reviewing the Book of Acts, and I said this last week, but we never got to any of the teaching, so I'm going to say it all again. I find immense value in studying the Book of Acts due to its rich content. To gain insights into the functioning of the early church, we begin today with Acts 22:30, but swiftly transition to Acts 23. At the outset of our passages, it is stated that the commander realized that Paul was in chains, but could not figure out why they had put him in chains. Couldn't figure out what was going on. So the commander kind of remained puzzled about what's taking place and why the crowd was so agitated. When chaos erupts, folks, when there is a mob mentality, folks, there is often no rational process at play. Sometimes it's just merely the work of Satan. Next, Paul's response to the high priest. As we jump into chapter 23, Paul acknowledges that he acted with integrity before the Lord. Yet Ananias, the high priest, orders those nearby to strike Paul in the mouth. This incident has led to various correct and incorrect theological interpretations. Paul's swift retort, calling Ananias a whitewashed wall, implies hypocrisy for accusing Paul of acting unjustly. We'll get into that. And finally, navigating divisions. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Paul discerns that some people present who he was talking to, some of them were Sadducees who deny the resurrection, while others were Pharisees who affirm it. Paul boldly declares his hope lies in the resurrection, causing great division amongst his opponents. Whether Christian or not, divisions weaken our collective position. Perhaps Christians should pay attention to this lesson.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Just remember, it's not professional radio. Jacob and I will tell you that all day long. It's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show, whether you're in San Diego, whether you're in Denver, whether you're in Dallas, or whether you're in Detroit. You can text us right now, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call us at that number, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob. Let me tell you what that's like. That's the same feeling you get when you are being appreciated.
Aww.
Aww, that's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, my friend. How are things looking? So the weekend's looking pretty good for you. Got anything just going to kind of chill out, relax, be laxing and chillaxing and just enjoying time?
Yeah, no plans at the moment, so just relaxing and, what did you say, chillaxing and relaxing?
Relaxing and chillaxing.
Relaxing and chillaxing, yep.
All right. For those of you out there that don't know, this is what we do. We live. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Yesterday I threw the ball for Bert, and we have a pretty big-sized backyard, and you got those little throwers for tennis balls, and I was throwing. He came back in the last time, and his little paw was all bloody. And I was like, oh. So we ended up prayed over him, and then we got up this morning. I called the doggy little hospital, which is really close to where we live. They were able to get him in within 45 minutes, and within 30 minutes of after arriving there and talking with people there, we were able to go home, and now Bert's home resting safely, all better on his medications. That's part of living, okay? You know what happens when you live? You still get grace in your situations. This is the thing I want you to remember. Hebrews 4:16, right? We come to the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and to find grace in our time of need. There it was. Prayed over it, got grace in our time. You know what? You think, well, that's a dog. Yeah, I know, but it's important to Noel and I, and so it's important to God. See how that works? Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Did they find out what it was?
Yeah, so he's got his little nail was bent all the way back, so they had to pull the nail out.
Oh, okay.
So, but he's doing so much better, and you know, he's our little project.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave that there. He's our project.
He's family, but he's a project.
He's our family, but he's project. Anyhow, in fact, I'm going to be doing dog jokes today in honor of Bert.
All right, I'll be sure to hit the applause just for Bert.
They're so funny. All right, look, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is if you've got a praise report, call up. Share it. People love that. You don't have to say it well. I don't say half of the stuff I say well. It doesn't matter. If one thing gets through and it blesses one person, victory, victory. And if you have the opportunity to share and honor the Lord, do it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've got a prayer request, you need prayer. We need this to get solved. I don't know what to do about this. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help. If you've got something else going on, you just want to share. You can be some observations, something you really understand, something you've really grown in. Maybe you've just learned it. Maybe you've learned it over 40, 50, 60 years of faith. I don't know. But it's your opportunity to share. We're going to probably do those dog jokes a little later on. And history. We're also going to do Bible trivia. Here's your next Bible trivia. Get ready. According to John, who alone could open the book of the seven seals? Is it the angel Gabriel? Was it the Lamb of God or the Holy Spirit? Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 through 9 is your reference point. That is, I want to make sure you get that. According to John, who alone can open the book of the seven seals? Is that the angel Gabriel, the Lamb of God, or the Holy Spirit? Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. And additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we do have somebody that is calling in, but I want to make sure you get the time to review it. And so that's one of the things that we do is people have a notion, they have an idea what's going on, so I want to make sure you get it and give them that chance. According to John, so we're talking about the Apostle John who wrote in the book of Revelation, and this is found in Revelation 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, who alone could open the book of the seven seals? Is that the angel Gabriel, the Lamb of God, which would be Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? What is your answer? Or let's say, what say you? Again, if you're going to call in, 972-445-0770. If you get a text in, 214-210-8483, and somebody is on the line, let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Brother David. This is Brother Ace.
Brother Ace! Ah, I love it! I love it. I can go home now. I feel much better. Brother. I
miss you guys. I've been kind of in and out of problems, but still on the high road. Haven't dropped to the low road.
No, that's good to hear. You sound pretty good.
I got some phlegm issues going on that kind of hinders my voice, and I hate that, but we're working on it, so it's going to be okie-dokie.
It's going to be okie-dokie. I'm glad you picked up that theological term from this show, okie-dokie.
Yeah.
All right, my brother. That is so great to hear from you, and I'm still going to pray over you. I'm just so happy to hear your voice. Let's answer the trivia question and then go from there, okay?
Okay, dope.
All right. According to John, who alone could open the Book of the Seven Seals? Was it the angel Gabriel, the Lamb of God, or the Holy Spirit?
That would be our blessed Savior, the Lamb of God.
That is correct, Amanda! All right, sir. It's the Lamb of God. Only he could open the scroll. Oh, that's just so, so good. And to hear your voice is such a blessing, brother. That's how much of a blessing you are to people. They hear your voice and they're blessed. Isn't that cool?
Well, I'm blessed backwards, so I appreciate that.
Well, I want to pray over you, okay, if that's all right.
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do it. Let's come before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now. We rejoice. We're dancing. We're not on Streets of Gold yet, Lord, but we're still dancing like we are. Thank you for our brother Ace. We are so appreciative that he called in. So blessed to hear his voice. Just so happy, Lord, and rejoicing in you. And Lord, he's a wonderful brother, and we are asking you to pour out the power of your Holy Spirit into his body, and that all these things that are going on, he will recover from, and that if he's working with doctors, Lord, bless those doctors with wisdom. Give them the anointing, and let them know what they're doing, and let them help our brother so he can be doing so much better. Just pour it out.
Amen.
And just bless him and let him be blessed and let him know how many people love him and how encouraging he is for people in the kingdom. We thank you for it. We pray your blessings on him. We ask you to fill him with your spirit. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Receive it by faith, my friend. Thank you.
Amen, my brother. It's just wonderful to hear from you.
It's wonderful to catch up with you. Appreciate you.
All right. God bless you, man.
God bless all of you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Brother Ace, making recovery. We're just hoping that he keeps going and going and going and going. All right, so in the meantime, before we do anything else, we do have to do one thing. We have to do our DNA. So there's not, you know, well, Dave, how come you always have to do DNA? Because. that's my answer. Do you like that answer? Because. It's like the best answer. People go, why? It's easier to say because than why. Here you go, DNA. This is our DNA. It's not the only DNA. It's just our DNA. We like it. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Spend time. So I had that. I'll just tell you what happened today. I don't care. I don't have any problem telling you guys exactly what happened. So today I had to take care of the dog earlier. And, it, you know, anytime I have a disruption in my kind of process, I just coordinate my entire day around. Doesn't matter. Even though I'm taking care of the dog, I'm going to make sure I spend my time reading and praying today, spending time with the Lord. If I could not have come into the office today or into the studio, I would not have come in, because praying and spending time with the Lord for me is more important. That's for me. I understand, but that's how I am. That's just what the burden is placed on me. I can't breathe without it. So then I took care of the dog. The Lord gave us tons of grace. I mean, tons of grace. Got home really early. I was able to read my Bible. It was a phenomenal reading. Wait. In the book of Leviticus. I'm already impressed with God. Blessing my reading in the book of Leviticus is wonderful. I got 14 things that I was able to highlight. Just so cool. And then a phenomenal prayer on the way in. Draw closer to the Lord. I'm not telling you that because I'm trying to brag. I'm telling you that's what makes the difference for believers. It's the Lord himself. That's why you are a believer. That's who makes the difference. Get it? Draw closer to the Lord daily. That's D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Why would you be ashamed of Jesus? I'm ashamed of the world. I'm ashamed of the human race. I'm ashamed of the different things that different politicians and academics and Hollywood people and me. I'm ashamed of all that. And being a part of humanity, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of what he had to say. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N. And A, always be ready
To serve.
To serve, which is just the nicest. We say it in 30 different ways. One of the nicest ways we say it is get out of yourself. Just get away from yourself. Focus on others. How are they? Be attentive. Be aware. Be sensitive. Add into your life the life of others, and you will have more life. Always ready to serve, to honor the Lord. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill. Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Next trivia question. Now be aware of this. Any of these three answers could be right, but we're asking according to a text. Okay? Did I make that clear? I made that pretty clear, right? So there are... all of these answers could be right, but only one of them are based on the text. Here is the trivia question. Who is our opponent that must be defeated? Is it death, desires, or the devil? According to 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Who is our opponent who must be defeated? Is it death, desires or the devil, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. According to 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, who is our opponent who must be defeated? Is it death, desires, or the devil? According to 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. So, in the meantime, I'm going to get into this text. I've only tried to get to this text for 2 weeks. Acts chapter 22, verse 30. And I want to make, it's a really important point I'm going to get to. Here it is. The next day, the commander freed Paul. So if you guys remember, Paul, he started speaking, and the people freaked out. And so then the commander grabbed Paul out of the crowd, and then they whooped him. And remember, we talked about it last week. They weren't supposed to whoop him. He's a Roman citizen. And so you're not allowed to whip a Roman citizen without a trial. And so then, you know, then the commander was like, ooh, whoops, whoopsie-daisy. You know, a little mistake out there. But listen to what it says. The next day, the commander freed Paul from his chains and ordered the leading priests into session with the Jewish High Council. He had Paul brought in before them to try to find out what the trouble was all about. Why I bring this up that's with such emphasis is because the commander was trying to appease the crowd. I get that. Everybody gets that. But he didn't even know what was really going on, yet he still gave authorization for Paul to get beaten. Now, what does that mean? That means simply this. The commander was puzzled. He was unaware as to what the reasons were for the crowd agitation. So when the crowd erupts, there's not necessarily a rational process in play. Sometimes it's just merely work of the enemy. People gather into mobs and become crazy. And instead of just dealing with that part of it, something else gets blamed. The people don't get blamed. And then the leaders do what they can to appease the crowd that's freaking out, even though that's not justice. I don't know if you've witnessed that in this country in the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 20 years, but should have. It goes way back earlier to the 60s. That's right, where the crowd is freaking out. They don't even know what to do as leadership, but they're just trying to appease the people that are freaking out. You see, the reason I bring this up is to show you that societal structures are not that different now than they were then, back in the time of the early church. It's not a lot different. People just go nutty. And instead of dealing with that and settling down the people, they let them freak out and burn stuff and rob stuff and, you know, beat people and kill people, but they don't want to give them any trouble, so they'll just find out it's got to blame it on somebody else. That just appeases the crowd and brings everything to a duller roar. That's been going on for thousands of years. There's nothing new. That's not a new thing. Oh, that's around before. Yes, it has. And it's happened before this time in Acts. It happened in the time of Israel. That's part of the problem. People lose it. There's no restraint. And because there's no restraint, there's no consequences. And because there's no consequences, justice is not done. This is why in the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, that ain't going to happen on this planet. When we're all said and done, everybody is going to give an account, and everybody is going to have to answer, period. The Christians will have that opportunity to fall fully on the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, but everybody else won't. Because if God evaluated you based on what you've done, good works or bad, you ain't getting in. You might have 200,000 good works, but in a 70 to 80 year span, you've sinned somewhere around 280,000 to 350,000 times between your thoughts, your words, your actions. Ouch. Nobody's getting in by number. You're getting in by grace. But when people are not restrained, when people cast off restraint, there is no consequence to their action. This is what happened. And here's the commander. I mean, you kind of feel for him a little bit, but he's like, he didn't know what was going on. He's trying to appease the situation. He ends up beating Paul. Dumb idea. And now he's just trying to figure out what to do. So he brings Paul in together, and they're going to have this, you know, little powwow with the Jewish council and the leaders, and the Roman soldiers are going to be there, and they're going to say, okay, we're going to figure this out, and everybody's going to calm down, and we're going to try to get to a process or a right process in this. That's what this text leads to. So when we get into verse 23, now you know what's coming, why it's coming, why is it going that way? Because this is the only way they can figure it out, and with that, and in lieu of that, we need to understand that sometimes people take action even when they don't have any idea what's going on. What is that? That's the enemy. The Lord always tells you what he's going to do. If it's to an entire nation, he sends a prophet. This is not that. You get it? All right. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Gary. How are you doing?
Well, about the same, but I'm going to keep praying.
And we're going to keep praying for you. I'm doing pretty good because I'm happy that my dog was able to get taken care of before I came down here, because it was my fault because I threw the ball. It wasn't really my fault, but I felt bad. I felt like I threw the ball, and he hurt his leg, and then his little paw was bleeding, and then I felt bad. It's like, I didn't do it, but I'm responsible kind of thing. Anyhow, so but I feel better because now he's all taken care of at home on medication. So that's a good thing.
That's good. I'll pray about it.
Yeah. Pray for my undeserved guilt.
Is that Bert?
Yeah, that's Bert, right. Exactly. So, but he's really been a big champ about it, so I'm happy with him. All right, let me give you the triv question, and then I'm going to pray for you, okay, bro?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Now, remember, this is according to 1 Peter 5, 8-9. Who is our opponent who must be defeated? Is that death, desires, or the devil?
The devil.
That is correct, Amundo! Death will also be defeated, and our personal desires, our flesh desires, also needs to be defeated on a regular basis. But in the 1 Peter 5 reference, it's the devil that's being referenced there. So excellent job, brother. All right, let me pray over you for healing power. Okay, let's pray for the Lord to bring healing to you. Is that good?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now and lift up our brother Gary, and we ask you, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would heal Gary. Can't make that any clearer, Lord. I don't know everything that's wrong with him, and I don't need to. You do. You knew everywhere in his body that he lacks. And you know everything he needs to be 100% whole. Please make Gary whole. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you. We're not trying to manipulate you. We're not trying to coordinate. We're not trying to do anything. We're trying to have faith and use that faith to have you move on Gary's behalf. His faith, my faith, the audience's faith. Lord, what a great testimony. That would be awesome. We bring this before you and ask you to say yes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I'll be praying for all of you, and I'll pray for including Bert.
Thank you, brother. I do appreciate that. I really do. Thank
you. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon Experience.
Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Verse 40, meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the city of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every city along the way until he came to Caesarea. He was in Caesarea, by the way, for 20 years, which explains why he had the daughters. But here's what I want you to catch. While he was en route, He landed in the Azotus. However he got from point A to point B is amazing. We don't even know. But what he did was he preached the gospel in every city along the way until he came to his destination. And if you cannot recognize, that is a testimony from God saying you take the gospel wherever you go until you reach your destination, which is either you being called up to the Lord personally, corporately, or however it's going to take place. Every place we go, everywhere we are, we take the gospel. That does not mean you grab a microphone. It does not mean you grab some kind of bullhorn and scream at people with the gospel. You just make sure that you are sensitive. That's the very DNA we talk about all the time. You're sensitive to the Lord. You're taking the gospel with you wherever you go. You're recognizing that wherever you go, you might have a one-time encounter with somebody, and they might make a decision for Jesus just based on that encounter. Noelle and I had that exact thing happen on our way from San Diego to Rockwell, to Fate. And we met somebody from a hotel that we were at and talked to them one time and prayed with her. And she became a Christian. And we never saw her again. It's not our call. It's up to the Lord. Just be available. You don't have to be, that's the word I'm looking for. You don't have to be Billy Graham. Like I said, Billy Graham wasn't Billy Graham. In other words, just be yourself. Be available. You never know what the Lord will do and how he'll use that. Okay? That's what's so cool about this text. Now, we finished up to chapter 8. Now, Acts chapter 9, we're going into Saul. And that is some serious stuff. Here is the trivia question. What was the affliction of the woman who was touched? Who touched the hem of Jesus' robe, and she had an issue with bleeding, an issue of blood, for quite some time, as we know, 12 years. The issue of blood, that is what she sought the Lord for, and she touched him, and then Jesus healed her physically, socially, psychologically, and emotionally all together at one time. Isn't that cool? Jesus is cool. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Next trivia question. This is according to Job chapter 30, verse 30. What color did Job claim that his skin turned into? What color did Job say his skin turned into? Yellow, black, or red? What color did Job claim to have his skin turned into? Yellow, black, or red? Job 30, verse 30. That is your trivia question. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website, as we often do in this particular spot. Lots of stuff on that website, 4,500 hours of podcasts you can access with lots of information on lots of different stuff, that is for sure. Additionally, on the website, there's some goofy fun stuff. You got to locate it, as well as some even goofier, funner stuff. Also, a place to give. That's the little red box that says donate. Not hard to understand. If the Lord puts it on your heart, great. If he doesn't, don't. That doesn't mean you can't check out the website. You can look at the website without donating, without feeling guilty. I give you permission. But check out the website. You'll like it anyway. If you can give, great. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. It would be a blessing for us. But if you can't do it, we pray the Lord blesses you so that you can do it, making it that simple. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report? HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Hey, kid, what's your name?
I can't remember.
Where are you from?
I can't remember.
Can't you remember anything?
I remember the Alamo.
She gets paid to do that, doesn't she? I mean, that's what's so funny, right?
Right.
That's a job, man. That is a job, right? Oh, just Jennifer is getting mega props. Everybody should just be like going, okay, Jennifer, she's getting mega props. All right, so hilarious. What color did Job claim to have his skin turned into? Is it yellow, black, or red? Your answer is in Job chapter 30, verse 30. And for those people that are like, oh, you can't say that because there's something racist about that, I'll make your life very simple. Ready? Only a racist sees everything through race. There you go. That's your definition of a racist. Only a racist sees everything through race. Just keep it simple. What color did Job claim to have his skin turned into? Yellow, black, or red? Job chapter 30, verse 30. If you think you know, reach out to us. Simple. You can just call, which is fun to do, 972-445-0770. You also text 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. We're going to do history very quickly and then jump into a serious teaching. So let's do it.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, as most people know, today is February 29th. It is leap day for leap year. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but if you can get to a Krispy Kreme, although I don't know that you can, for $2.29, you can get a dozen donuts.
I did not know that.
On this day alone. On this day alone. It's also National Toast Day. I got nothing. I mean, how do you not like toast? It's like a basis, it's staple. National Surf and Turf Day. So you're talking about surf and turf. Nothing like surf and turf. I'll just take it. I just want a filet mignon and a lobster. What's the problem?
So today, eat surf and turf, toast, and Krispy Kreme.
Yep. What a day. We should have these February 29ths more often. Okay. There you go. All right, back to the text. I don't have time. I got to go right to it. Here it is, the trivia question. What color did Job claim that his skin turned into? Is it yellow, black, or red? Job chapter 30, verse 30. If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. Text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Acts 23. Casting intently at the high council, Paul began, "Brothers, I have always lived before God in all good conscience." Instantly, Ananias the high priest commanded those close to Paul to slap him on the mouth. But Paul said to him, "God will slap you, you whitewashed wall. What kind of judge are you to break the law yourself by ordering me struck like that?" Those standing near Paul said to him, "Is that the way to talk to God's high priest?" "I'm sorry, brothers, I didn't realize he was the high priest," Paul replied. "For the scripture says, do not speak evil of anyone who rules over you." That's from Exodus 22:28. Let's talk about this. I'm going to read this out of the NIV Study Bible. Listen to what I said. The notes that come with the NIV Study Bible, because they say it better than I can. So I'm going to use their material for it. Verse 23:5. When Paul says, "I did not realize he was high priest," this is explained in possibly four different ways. This is according to the NIV Study Notes. Paul had poor eyesight, suggesting that he failed to see that the one who presided there was the high priest. That's based on him having eye problems after the Lord healed him. He failed to discern that the one who presided was the high priest because on some occasions other people had sat there. Maybe. He used pure irony. A true high priest would not give such an order. Now we're catching it. And fourth possible thing is he refused to acknowledge that Ananias was the high priest under these circumstances, possibly as well. Here's the bottom line. Paul speaks, and he's defending himself. Okay, John 21, Jesus does the same thing. He defends himself. So just before you say he shouldn't defend himself, that's not exactly how that goes. But some people are saying, well, Paul was acknowledging the mistake because he the way he said it. And some translations translate it that way, so that's the impression you get. That's not how the Greek translates it. I understand. Not a matter of fellowship, not an issue like that. But when he makes reference to Exodus 22:28, that says, thou shalt not curse your leaders, not speak evil the way that we talk about it. Curse means to cast evil upon them. When he used the phrase whitewashed wall, that was a common phrase for hypocrisy. And so there's about, it's a split, about one third think it was all irony, about one third just aren't sure and just think everybody should relax. And then the other third are like, no, he was apologizing. I don't see Paul apologizing the way that the texts speak of it. I think there's more irony there because he's like going, I didn't realize he was the high priest, because you would never have somebody slapped for defending themselves. That's against the law. And I don't see that he cursed the high priest because he calls him a whitewashed wall, because that was the phrase for hypocrisy. So I'm not buying into all that. What I am buying into is that you're not supposed to curse your leaders. That is a fact. To speak about something that somebody did in leadership is not a curse if it actually occurred. So you should, you know, kind of separate those. To take a political side on this because you're Democratic, so you can't speak evil of current leadership, or because you're Democratic and you couldn't speak evil of, or you can speak evil of former leadership, and then to flip that script exactly the exact same way now, because under this administration you can speak about leadership from an evil point of view, or the prior one you can't speak about, that's all that's just wrong. You see how it's mixed to depending on your side? Well, that part, that's what's wrong. Okay? You don't speak evil about leadership in the context that you don't curse leaders no matter what. You pray for them. You don't pray against them. You pray for them. Praying against them is not the way Scripture sets it up. You don't like the leadership? Pray that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of their hearts and minds. That's what you do. You don't like the way it's fine. But to curse them, that's just a dumb idea. That's not brilliant in any capacity. So then it really comes down to, how do we deal with our leadership? You might not like the leadership, but that doesn't mean you should ask God to rapture them off of the planet and somewhere else outside of the galaxy. We should all be praying that the Holy Spirit of God moves upon our leaders. And for those who don't realize this, thousands of leaders have had a 180-degree turn once God gets a hold of them. Now, isn't it just wiser to pray, Lord, let our leaders follow you first for the good of your people? Isn't that the way to pray? Versus, wipe them all out, Lord. Stick them all on an island. You see that difference right there? Just asking. Okay. To the trivia question, what color did Job claim to have his skin turned into? Is it yellow, black, or red? And the answer is black. He was going through such misery and such a hard time that it is like his skin turned black. So much frustration, disappointment, anger, hurt, and pain. Wow. That's what he was saying. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When you are in the presence of the Lord and His presence is strengthening you, and we talked about that can happen through the Word of God, through prayer, and through fellowship, and then you go through some process where somebody sends you a text or somebody sends you a letter, or somebody calls you, or somebody sends you an email, or somebody looks at you funny, or somebody kind of glances, or somebody says something about you, or you hear something about yourself, or you eat the wrong kind of tacos and you just feel bad and the joy is sucking away at the moment. Here is the answer while the devil is trying to take your joy away. Here is the key for the next 365 days for your life. When the devil takes the joy away by robbing you, you go back into the presence of God again. When the devil comes in and robs you and takes that joy, will you get up off your duff or your blessed assurance? And you go into the presence of God again, be it prayer, be it Bible, be it fellowship, be it worship, be it whatever. I don't care. Get up and get back in the presence of God again. And when the devil comes around the second time and knocks on your door and you open it and he takes it from you again, then you get off your blessed assurance again and you get back into the presence of God again. And when he does it a third time, you do it again. And when he does it a fourth time, you do it again. Because the strength of the Lord is in the joy of the Lord, which is found in the presence of the Lord. And when he comes a robbing, you go to refill. When the tank is empty, put gas in it. When you're depleted, fill it up. And you think, well, I can't do that. Why not? You did it the first time. Yes, but that was special. Why? Because you tried? Try again. But you don't understand. No, I don't care. That's much, much more heartless to say that, huh? That's a good one. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I care about the truth. I don't care about somebody's, well, my perception. Well, good for you. God bless you. When you can figure out that you can argue with God, let me know how that goes. If you win that argument, you come back. You can take the throne. But you ain't going to win it. So when the enemy comes and he comes a stealing, you do exactly what you need to do to take it back. If he steals from you, you take it right back. Why? Because you can. Because he's not empowered to keep it from you. He's empowered to take it momentarily. You're empowered to take it right back. Take it.
The David Spoon Experience.
You're here when I need you the most. When I need you the most.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your last trivia question. At the second coming of Jesus, who will he bring with him? One, the witnesses. Two, the church. Or three, his angels. According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. At the second coming of Jesus, who will he bring with him? The witnesses, the church, or his angels? According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. And also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, you've got dog jokes coming. You ready for dog jokes?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Here's your first one. This is by Mark Twain, by the way. Heaven goes by favor. If it were by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in. That is pretty good. I like that one. Okay. Here's Anonymous. One reason a dog is such a lovable creature is his tail wags instead of his tongue. See, you get that? His tail wags. He's a happy dog instead of tongue. Okay, didn't like that one. This is from Stephen Wright, the comedian. I poured spot remover on my dog. Now he's gone. Because his name was Spot. See, so Spot. Come on, come on. Yay! Gotta think that one through. Okay. This is for Aunt Deb. She's out of town, but she would love this one. Everyone needs a dog to adore him and a cat to bring him back to reality. That's pretty good. I got three pros on that one, huh? That's pretty good. All right, not bad.
It's a record.
That's a record right there. The dog jokes prevail. At the second coming of Jesus, who will he bring with him? The witnesses, the church or his angels? According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Here we are in Acts chapter 23 and at verse 6. And this is so powerful. So powerful. Paul, so remember, so he speaks, right? The high priest has him smacked on the mouth, right? Paul, now, you know, it's different interpretations. Paul goes, you know, you whitewash wall. That's how you talk to the high priest? He goes, oh, I didn't realize he was the high priest, because no high priest would have anybody do that, but that's besides the point. And he says this, Paul realized that some members of the high council were Sadducees and some were Pharisees. Now stop. The high council of the Jewish people, okay, the high council of the Jewish people was Sadducees and Pharisees. So while Paul is talking, he catches it. Remember, the Pharisees believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees do not. It's a huge contention between them. The Pharisees believe in angels and demons and spirits, and the Sadducees do not. So Paul, much likely by the power of the Lord, realizes that some members of the high councils are Sadducees and some members are Pharisees. Paul, verse 6, realizes that some members of the high council were Sadducees and some were Pharisees. So he shouted, brothers, I am a Pharisee, as were all my ancestors. And I am on trial because my hope is in the resurrection of the dead. Ooh, doggy. Couple things to tell you on this, but you cannot miss this and the importance of this. First of all, guided by the Spirit, Paul, I believe, discerns. It's pretty obvious he knows what's going on. There are Sadducees who deny the resurrection and Pharisees who affirm it. Paul boldly proclaims his hope lies in the resurrection. You know what this did? This created division. So whether you're a Christian or not, divisions weaken collective positions. Let's say that again. Jesus made this absolutely clear in the Gospels. House divided cannot stand. Divisions weaken collective positions. Christians should realize that. When we operate in divisions, which, by the way, is a work of the flesh, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, we operate in divisions, we are creating weaknesses. Paul is able to discern there's a significant difference between these two groups, and one of the groups he has a close connection to, an affinity with, and so he says, I am on trial because I believe in the resurrection. Bam! What does that create? That creates a division amongst the high council between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and now, guess what? Paul is no longer the issue. Now there's a bigger issue in play. Whether the resurrection of the dead is valid or not. And in that one moment, the strategy changes. And I just want to say this so you can catch it. And the enemy loses the power he had in that situation, which is often how the Lord delivered us. But Paul's statement is so powerful and one that you and I should hang on and live by. He said, I am on trial because my hope is in the resurrection of the dead. You want to know something, folks? As a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, that is what your hope is based on. Your hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Your hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that. You're not basing your hope on history. You're not basing your hope on any of the other things around you except for Jesus got up. That's what your hope's based on. That when they went to see him in the tomb, nobody was there. When people point to the prophets and to their saviors and to their spokespeople of the past. They point to their tombs. When Christians point, we point to an empty tomb. Nobody there. All gone. Why? Because he got up. That is our hope. It is eternal life based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to acknowledge to a degree that the Pharisees were certainly closer than the Sadducees, who don't believe in a resurrection. Of course, they didn't believe it was Jesus, but that's a separate issue. What I'm trying to say is that Paul takes his stand. My hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Never forget this one thing. I think Christmas is fine. You know, presents are, it's fine. It's great. But faith for a Christian lies in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because without the resurrection, we're of all men most miserable, according to Paul, who's in the midst of this conversation here. And without the resurrection, there's no affirmation of all the words that Jesus said, no confirmation in its totality, only minor confirmations. But now, because of the resurrection, everything that Jesus said is true. Because he got up from the dead to live forevermore. Not the first person to resurrect. First person to resurrect and never die again. That is what it's based on. Okay? Wow. Cool. All right, your trivia question, pretty straightforward. Second coming of Jesus, who will he bring? The witnesses, the church, or the angels? The witnesses probably refers to the two in Revelation. The church is the church, and his angels are angels. Thank you very much. And the answer is his angels. That's who he's bringing with him, according to Matthew 24:31. That's kind of fun, liking that. That's very enjoyable. Hope you had a beneficial time listening to the show. We'll be done for today. Pick it up tomorrow. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22.5 hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.